Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What would you do if you had the ability to sync minds with your best friend? A partner? Maybe even a stranger? Would you share the deepest part of yourself with them?
I can already read your mind.
Then what am I thinking about right now?
You're thinking about how much you want people to support our Kickstarter for our first feature film, Sync.
You're so right. If we raise the money, we can make an amazing sci-fi thriller about mind syncing and toxic relationships.
Support women in film and check out our campaign now. Just go to Kickstarter.com and search Sync, that's S-Y-N-C. Or click on the link in our bio on social media and follow us at Femme Regard and at Sync the Movie.
Femme.
All right, Matt, we're in the thick of Dare to be Stupid. We've got some heavy hitters still to go.
Oh, yeah.
We've already covered some heavy hitters. In a weird way, this was one of the most requested songs. When we sent out the emails and said, what song do you want to talk about by Weird Al? We got a lot of responses that said One More Minute. I pulled a little bit of nepotism and bias because one of the first people to ask for it is my buddy AJ. I've been friends with AJ since college. So we decided... This is a dude who has an encyclopedic knowledge of pretty much most music, but really knows his shit about like 50s and 60s. So he had to be the guy to join us on this.
He's the guy
episode.
For this ode to doo-wop. Al's ode to doo-wop, yeah.
And I've got a theory. I was thinking about this, and we'll talk about it. But first, I want to ask AJ. AJ, two things. Thing number one, what is your quick Weird Al history? And then question number two, why One More Minute?
Sure. I want to start off by saying thank you for that introduction. That was ridiculously positive and uplifting. And I'm honored to be here on this hugely requested episode. My Weird Al history is like, I think most people my age, I'm a little bit older than you, but I'll be 40 this year, probably by the time this episode comes out. And I got into Weird Al just on MTV, just seeing things. And I was one of those kids who, you know, when I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit on the radio, I got pissed when it was Kurt Cobain and not Weird Al. I was like, oh, this real version. But now I'm a huge Nirvana fan. But I because of how funny I thought he was, I think my third CD ever, my first one being Crisscross, second being CNC Music Factory, and the third album ever was Even Worse by Weird Al.
Nice.
So I think that's, I redeemed myself a little bit. But it was just balls to the wall. I got that video that you guys always talk about, the music videos.
The music videos, that's how I discovered this song, was that music video VHS tape.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that video, every time I hear you guys bring that up, it's just like I feel bonded to you, just like listening, driving to this podcast, because I'm like, yes, I'm like, that video was like my life.
It was a life-changing video, for sure. So that was your introduction to One More Minute, was through the music video?
Correct.
All right, and why, what about this song? Because you only sent me like 3 or 4 song requests, but this was like top of the list, like One More Minute, please.
Yeah, I grew up, my parents thought the Beatles were the death of music. So they were older, you know, to say the least. So their music taste was the Platters. It was Nat King Cole. It was that kind of like oldies in Philadelphia area. Oldies 98 was the oldies station. And we would listen to that nonstop. I mean, and Frank Sinatra, all those things. So that kind of music always was my childhood. And then when I heard Weird Al do his take on it, and, you know, as a kid in elementary school, very early middle school, just the increasing ridiculousness with which he describes, you know, what he would rather do than be with this person from this relationship. It just cracks me up still to this day. Like the ending line where he just like goes nuts and is like, I'd rather rip my heart right out of my rib cage with my bare hands, stomp on the floor till I die. Even as like an almost 40-year-old man, like just I'm dying laughing.
So I have a theory about this, and I'm curious about you guys. Do you think, beyond the fact that this is an homage to Elvis and doo-wop music and all of that, do you think it's also him kind of poking a little fun at Billy Joel doing the An Innocent Man record just a year earlier, which was like all the 1950s and 60s throwback sounds?
I had never thought of that before, but yeah, maybe.
Well, we know he doesn't like Billy Joel.
His feelings Billy Joel are well documented. So yeah, maybe. Wow. I would have never thought of that. Good call, Matt. You might be onto something there.
I think it was because I was literally just listening to that record the other day. And I always think of that as a much later 80s release for him, but it is 1983.
Wow.
So like Uptown Girl and For the Longest Time would have been on the radio at the time that he was writing the originals for this. So I feel like that there has to be a little bit, even if it's like subconsciously.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, at this like point, like, that. You know, It's Still Billy Joel to Me didn't come out. And I always like to remind myself at this point in time in the, you know, this is still mid 80s, like Al probably never envisioned a scenario where we would be passing around thumb drives of his demo recordings from when he was a teenager. And yet here I am holding one on camera right now. So it probably, you know, maybe it was still, he still had stuff to get off his chest about Billy Joel. And he was just trying to do it in whatever way he could without straight out calling out the man.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, I think there's also a lot of artists, I don't know the exact years, but at that time in the 80s, who were doing 50s kind of throwbacks, like Huey Lewis and the News,
sure,
and like and Billy Joel and all that. There were quite a number of like either covers or homages at that time. I think especially with Reagan presidency, there was like this kind of like, let's get back to, you know, American normalcy and like the clean cut poll. I mean, I just think that was in the air.
I think you're right. I mean, Huey mainstream. Lewis appears on this record as well.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right about like what was going on in the world. It is documented on this album in terms of the trends and stuff. You really can hear it across Dare to Be Stupid.
So real quick, break down the Wikipedia description of One More Minute. One More Minute is about an ex-girlfriend, was written in the style of an Elvis Presley doo-wop song. According to the liner notes of Permanent Record, Yankovic was preparing to write songs for Dare to Be Stupid when his then girlfriend broke up with him. In order to mentally deal with the heartbreak, he decided to write a humorous song expressing his anger, and eventually wrote One More Minute. He even tears up a picture of his ex in the music video.
His actual ex-girlfriend. I had to double check that because I saw it in the video and I rewatched it.
I always thought that was an urban legend, but I guess he's gone on the record and said no, it was her.
According to every official source, in the video for this song, he holds up a photo of a woman and tears it in two, and that is an actual ex, which is that is wild to do.
Look, we've said it in the first two albums. It starts to fall apart around this album, but Weird Al is punk rock as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, he is, you know, yeah, he really is. And also like on record and off record, it seems like his personality. And it's funny too, because like he's obviously well known as being like such an affable, lovely guy. I'm not questioning that at all, but it is very, very bold to hold up a photo of a real person you knew in your major music video and tear it up. Yeah, that takes a certain type of confidence as a human being that I don't have.
It might be more punk than the Sinead ripping up the Pope on SNL, to be honest.
it's more more direct shot fired. It's not making any turns. That is straight ahead. Yeah.
Yes. As we discussed in the Dare to Be Stupid episode, like a lot of critics were kind of underwhelmed by the originals on this album, but One More Minute was the one original that kind of universally the critics were like, this is the standout track
of
the album. Even back in 85, they were like, nope, this is the one. This is the one that you need to hear. It is weird to think about that this album is almost, all of the music videos are almost all originals except for like A Surgeon. Right? Like,
I think
he did four music videos for this. Yeah, he did four music videos for this, and it was Like A Surgeon, Dare to Be Stupid, One More Minute, This Is the Life.
Yeah. Apparently, they counted I Want a New Duck was sent to radio,
yeah,
but did not get a video.
Probably for the best. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this song, I mean, we can break down the lyrics. I want to actually talk about the music video first.
Yes.
Because I have one minor hot take about this video. I like this video a lot. Yeah. I wish that this video was a single take. I feel like this video could have just been a one-shot video, and I think that it would be even better if it was, because then you're like almost watching it to see the way that the camera's like moving in and out for like the prop switches,
yeah,
and whatnot.
I totally agree. But I totally agree. Yeah. I think it could have been. I also think that it checks out that it looks like they made this video for $20 in 30 minutes. You know what I mean? So I think that probably that was just more time than they were able to give it.
Willing to invest.
Yeah. Because this was, funny enough, in our time doing this, this is the most low budget Al video we have seen. And that includes the stuff from his first record that we said 100%. Was low budget. But this is truly a single setting.
With like five props.
Yeah,
like
a couple props. But for the most part, it is just Al with his band behind him as his backing singers.
Well, and
in black and white.
His band are the stars of this video. Like Al is front and center, but that choreography is incredible.
It's incredible. It is like, it seems like he told them, like, do me a favor and just barely learn this. Because they're you can tell that they're trying. They're really trying to do it. They're also not dancers. It's not their job, but like they're really trying, but the moves are so like stilted and like half done. And the number of times where you see one of them catch up to the others, like, oh right, we're going to the teeth thing. Like, yeah. Oh God, it's watching them in the background is without it. And they're barely in focus the entire video. And yet you have to look at them the whole time.
So, you know, we've talked about things where it's like, especially because we were raised on that VHS tape,
yeah,
right? There are times where you're just listening to the song, but like certain moments in the music video were like implanted in your brain.
Oh, yeah.
For me, when I'm driving, listening to the Dare to Be Stupid album and the like dip, 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 dip part kicks in, I see them doing that awkward side stand together with their hands like burned into my brain. Yeah. It is such a perfect shitty choreography for that part of the song.
It's fantastic. I mean, again, talk about making the most of very little. They did a really, really good job at nailing all the right vibe marks for something like this. Like it is super, super effective with, again, almost nothing aside from like the prop of a phone, a photo, salted broken glass, the door, yeah, all that. Like, but that's it. I mean, it is really just a stand there and sing the song. Oh, and the microphone stands, which is my favorite part.
The microphone stands joke of him just shattering, like he breaks the one
in half.
The
first one he just pulls
one
apart and then throws it aside, and then a second later grabs another one just like that. Like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, when he bends down and it's like a rubber stand. Oh,
well,
so
I was
going
to say, guys, it cannot be a coincidence that the joke where the mic stand goes flaccid is on his self-service pump line.
I know.
I mean, it is.
I mean, we got to address.
I have never noticed that before watching this video. Again, because I probably have not seen this video since I was too young to get that joke. And now going back to it for this, I was like, I mean, everything you needed was right there in front of you the whole time to understand what he was saying here. But it is still very surprising to me. I cannot get over that joke being hidden in this track.
Dude, we do have to address that. This is the song that has the masturbation joke from Weird Al Yankovic. So here's a fun game we'll play. Do you remember when you figured out that joke?
Oh, okay.
I distinctly do.
I didn't know where that was going, Matt, for a second.
I thought the same thing. I was like, wow, Matt's really going to take us down a path
Yeah,
here.
We're getting blue.
I was like, no wonder I'm on this show.
Yeah, no,
oh, I'll do you never remember, forget.
Okay.
No, I'm...
I had a Kathy Ireland poster.
no, I don't think I do. But it was very, very late. Because, you know, again, an interesting thing about these songs, and this came up on a bunch of these tracks already, is like there's something about when you hear these as you're, when you're really young. And you when you hear it and the lyric goes over your head and you just accept it for what it is, then even when you're older and you know those things, it just, the dots don't connect. You don't realize because it's just a line in your head on its own. And you've missed... I feel like if you don't get the subtext in the moment when you learn it, it's very difficult to connect again later. Like someone did have to tell me, and I can't remember who it was, but someone had to tell me that that was in this song. And I was like, what? Yeah. And I like went back and re-looked at the lyrics. I was like, oh my God, it is.
And keep in mind that just a couple weeks ago, both you and I bonded over the fact that we thought that gosmers was some type of medical term because we didn't realize he was saying gauze, comma, nurse.
And yeah, like, give me all your gauze, nurse. And I was like, what are gosmers?
So, AJ, do you remember when you finally realized there was a masturbation joke in a Weird Al song?
It was when I walked in the door of your house, Matt, and you said, this is the song with masturbation on it, very excitedly.
See, there you
and
go.
I was like, okay, I just took your word for it, and like now that we're talking about it now, I'm literally connecting the dots as we record.
So I'll play a little snippet of the actual cover, but I used to love Comedy Bang Bang. Back when it was called Comedy Death Ray, it was a Comedy Death Ray podcast, and Scott Aukerman would always have comedians come in, and they would either pretend to be celebrities or he'd bring in actual comedians, and they would do songs. And I haven't listened to it for many years, but for a while, it was one of the most interesting, unique podcasts out there. But at one point, he had Garfunkel and Oates on, and he asked them to cover a Weird Al song for Weird Al because he was going to be in the studio, and they covered One More Minute, and they asked him, are we crazy or is there a masturbation joke in this lyric? And he got very coy about it.
Wow. So that's amazing.
That was, but then they cut, it's an awesome cover.
Oh man. I love Garfunkel.
Especially because they found a way, they said, we're going to Garfunkel and Oates it up a little bit.
Mm.
So they extend that ending with a lot of profanity.
Oh man.
Then spend one more minute with you.
Yes, I'd rather come naked in a huge pile of thumbtacks or stick my nostrils together with crazy glue. I'd rather dive into a swimming pool filled with double-edged razor blades than spend one more minute with you. I'd rather rip my heart right out of my ribcage with my bare hands and throw it on the floor and stomp on it till I die than spend one more minute, just one more minute, spend one more minute with you.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. It's funny, another just like quick, you know, Al connection, because it all does connect. Like Al wound up on Comedy Bang Bang. At the end of the television show, he was the musical host.
Yeah, the last
host.
Two seasons.
Yeah,
he Al, was the Reggie.
Al was replaced... Well, Reggie Watts, and then Kid Cudi did it for a brief period, and then
that's
Al,
right. Kid
Al
Cudi
finished
did it for
the show.
Connection, Weird Al does a Kid Cudi song in one of his polkas.
That's true, he does.
Yeah, it's all incestual. On
yeah, it's all going to connect. By the end, we're going to have a perfect understanding of the whole universe.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Do you like to laugh? geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass to Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
I think Weird Al would probably be like the biggest pop culture umbrella of the second half of the 20th century.
Yeah, you'd be hard pressed to think of someone bigger just because of how wide his reach goes into other, you know, pop.
Kevin
artists.
Bacon is a far second.
It's true. Yeah. You're right, man. We should pioneer that move of 6 degrees of Weird Al instead of Kevin Bacon. You might be onto something there, AJ.
I mean, you remember for a while I was pitching my concept of 6 degrees to Can't Hardly Wait because so many people were tied into that movie that I'm like, I think you could literally connect anybody back to that movie.
And I think I just saw Deborah Kaplan was like literally in the row or two rows behind the incident that just happened as we record this at the Venice Film Festival where Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine. I think she was like literally like perfectly in the center of that shot. She was just posting on Instagram. So there's another connection to Can't Hardly Wait.
There you go. See, it all connects.
Suddenly I feel like we're that It's Always Sunny meme with Charlie Day with all the post-it notes behind him drawing the crazy connections. Like we're going to become that kind of podcast. I'm up for it.
I liked this song before I liked the music that this song was parodying.
It's like that's fair. I would agree with that. Like now.
And like now I love this stuff.
No, because if it wasn't for the funny lyrics, there's not. Musically, it's not funny. There's nothing goofy about the music here. Unlike some other songs on this record that have a lot of like comedy elements baked into the music, this is very, very straight, you know, style parody or genre parody, I guess. I mean, I don't know if this is officially classed in any way, Matt. Like, are we saying this is a straight Elvis style parody or is this?
So that's what they said, but I don't think that Al's really putting on. I think that if Al was sincerely doing an Elvis parody, he would have way more Elvis-isms in the song. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm inclined to agree with you.
Yeah, like this just feels like a straight-up doo-wop song, and people, which is weird also that people connect doo-wop with Elvis because like I don't really. Like there are definitely elements of it.
He has a few love songs with like the Jordanaires like early in his career, but it's not. Yeah, it's
When I think of Elvis, I think of more like about it. Like it's like that's what comes to my mind.
I think the reason why I associate this with Elvis is because historically, whenever he did this live, he did an Elvis thing where he fully put on like the robe and went out into the audience and held ladies' hands and sang it to them and stuff. Like that was he really hammed it up. Like that was it was a very obviously Elvis stage presentation at a live show.
Well, and I guess the flip side is I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't really connect Elvis with doo-wop, but then I'm like, well, who do I connect with doo-wop? I don't feel like there's like an iconic, like everyone's like, oh yes, the kings of doo-wop. So I feel like it was definitely a genre built on a lot of like one-hit wonders or like kind of these
Frankie Valli.
Yeah, like Frankie early, Valli a little
early
bit.
Early Four Seasons.
But early Four Seasons, he would be singing it way higher as well. Like,
right.
It's like,
if Weird Al was doing that.
That's the thing. It's like the people who were the biggest at it had very iconic lead vocalists. And Al is doing this definitely. This is like Alfred Yankovic and the doo-wops. You know what I mean? Like that's like
Al Yankovic and the Stiff Snaps.
The Stiff Snaps. Ooh, God, that's good. That's good. That's hard to top. Wow.
This is a really good song. Yeah. It's a solid song. The lyrics are really funny. Are there any lyrics we want to break down ourselves? I've mentioned this on a past episode. I covered this song before.
Yeah, you did mention it.
In a friend's band, and that was the first time that I really took a notice on how truly hilarious almost every line of this song is.
Yes.
You know, when we talk about like comedy being about escalation, like this song just escalates in so many ways from start to
I was gonna say this is the great, like, it starts with just I'm gonna pull your name out of my Rolodex and ends with the complete I do remember being a kid and hearing this for the first time and finding the mental imagery of I'd rather dive into a swimming pool filled with double-edged razor blades and finding that very disturbing to think about.
Yeah.
Like, it gets so intense.
Because I hadn't seen this video for a while. When they brought out the shards of glass, I was like, does he bite into the shards of glass? Like, I had like a legit... Because it wouldn't be out of the realm of Al to have a close-up of him, like, biting into some candy glass with, like, some fake things protruding out of his cheeks.
Yeah.
Like, so...
That would have been better for the one-shot version of the video, where then for the rest of the song, he's got just blood dripping down his chin. The lyrics of this are great. The other one, like, for me as a kid, the line that always cracked me up the most was the slam my fingers in a door again and again and again and again and again. Like, that's a great, like... Again, hitting a marker of the genre. It's such a classic move to do that in a song like this, but doing it about slamming his fingers. And I love the visual in the video of just the door hitting his hand on each beat. It's great.
I really like one of the lines that I would always think about is the lead into the last verse was like, can't you see what I'm trying to say, darling? I'd rather have my blood sucked out by leeches. Yeah.
It like breaks character.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what you were talking about before we hit record. Mm-hmm. You and I were talking. You're like, as a guy who tries to sing, his ability to go from angry, screaming Al right back into singing Al on that last part is also very masterfully done.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all of us are musicians in our own right here, I think. And I one of the things vocally that I always struggle with is going from one style of singing or using one part of my body, whether it's like more diaphragm or more back of my throat or whatever, to another cleanly, in like a smooth fashion. There's always, I feel like, and it feels like, you know, a long time, but it might just be a millisecond, but I feel like there's so much time where I have to transition when I'm going la la la, like it's never natural, and I can hear it, and maybe that's just me being overly critical, but I feel like he does it so masterfully right at the end there. I'm always so impressed with that, and I don't think Al gets enough credit for the way he has control over his voice, both for singing and comedically. Like,
absolutely,
he just has such control.
Absolutely. In order, I mean, well, first of all, just in general, in order to sing all these different styles of music he does in the first place, takes an incredible control of your voice. Like, most, very few singers could hit every one of these marks and not find one, be like, oh, I can't really sing like that in this type of way. Like, whether it's like a real screamy, deep throaty vocal or high falsetto type stuff. Like, yeah. And he'll do it, you know, whip turn mid song all the time. He is an incredible singer to be able to do all of this stuff with the effortlessness that he does, which you can really see, especially, you know, if you catch him live or watch any of the live videos, because he does these songs all the time and it sounds flawless every time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, unless we've got anything else to throw in there, Matt, it's time for you and I to do our rankings. This is tough. It's tough because I know it's in the top. But the top is pretty stacked right now. I think for me, I'm putting this right beneath Nature Trail to Hell and right above Checks in the Mail.
Let's see. Oof. Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm going to go a little bit lower than you, and I'm going to put it in between Midnight Star and Buy Me a Condo.
All right. I'm still so shocked that Buy Me a Condo is so high on your list.
Well, I mean, I just pushed it down a little bit there, didn't I?
That is true.
I will say I did take a couple people messaged me and they were not on board with my take of Buy Me a Condo, which is totally fair. Look, I'm here. I'm putting myself out there with these opinions, you guys. And by
Look,
all means,
you could also say to you me, can reprimand you could also me. Say to me, I can't believe that Checks in the Mail is in your top five right now.
Checks in the Mail is extremely high for Matt. So if anyone's concerned with my takes, we can talk to Matt about the Checks in the Mail being Al's magnum opus.
All right. Now, AJ, you get this exciting thing with the guest rankings, right? So currently, from worst to best, the guest rankings are It's Still Billy Joel to Me, King of Suede, I Lost on Jeopardy, Nature Trail to Hell, Eat It, and Like a Surgeon.
And that's so you just went from bottom to the top?
From bottom to the top. Okay. So you can place One More Minute anywhere on here. But then also, you can move another song into a position you think is more appropriate.
I know exactly what I want to do here.
Ooh. Okay.
So I've been a loyal listener to the podcast.
I love it.
Yeah. I've been driving around like, well, if I ever get on this podcast, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I definitely want to put one more minute. I think one more minute's better than like a surgeon by far. To be honest,
top of the top.
Yeah. Top of the top. And I'm going to take Eat It. And I'm going to put Eat It. Oh God. See, the vitriol and the hatred for Billy Joel that I have like wants me to put it below Billy Joel, but it's such like, I mean, it's,
oh, you're dropping Eat It.
I'm dropping Eat It. Sorry, Fafalius.
This is great. So far, everyone's been moving Eat It, which makes me really happy. This is like, this is the song that people are just like, I want to tell you what I think of Eat It.
This is like the worst. Yeah, this is like a Christmas party going to, when Santa went crazy on Eat It with this. Shift around. I'm gonna put it below I Lost on Jeopardy. Okay.
Got it.
So you still can't deny that it's a better song than King of Suede.
Put it above. Put it above I Lost on Jeopardy. I'm sorry. So the ranking, as far as I'm concerned, goes One More Minute, Like a Surgeon, Nature Trail to Hell is a goddamn genius song. Eat It, then I Lost on Jeopardy. Because you can't deny Eat It. Was it the second food song?
No, he already had Bologna as well. So it would have been.
Oh, and Bologna. Yeah. Okay, third. Yeah. Sorry. So third, I was forgetting Rocky Road. So third, it's his third food song. He really perfected that parody there. I think that was the pinnacle, to be honest. And
I want to bring up one other thing. You texted me just as you were heading here to let me know that you did some Googling and you think you know who Diamond Joe is that gets referenced.
Oh, Diamond Jim,
the boy,
yes.
Diamond Jim, from That Boy Could Dance.
Yeah, so I was listening to That Boy, because I'm a week or two behind, but I was listening to That Boy Could Dance episode on my way here. And Diamond Jim, I knew that reference just from growing up. So I was surprised that you guys didn't have that. But, it is like an older reference. So Diamond Jim Brady, which is a character or a person that my dad would reference all the time. Like every time I would start spending too much money, he'd be like, who are you, Diamond Jim Brady? Diamond Jim Brady was like a businessman from like the 1800s, died in like 1917 in Atlantic City. So he was a figure known around like New York, Atlantic City, as just like this rich businessman tycoon. I mean, you look at the kind of painting here, Matt, you can see he's wearing like a tuxedo with a carnation. And I mean, he is a rich motherfucker.
It looks like an oil tycoon.
Exactly. Exactly. So he had a penchant for diamonds, precious stones, and jewelry, and a voracious appetite. He was a hefty guy. So I knew that. Maybe it's because like I said, my parents thought the Beatles were the death of music. They were born respectively 42 and 44. So I think maybe like their generation more knew of Diamond Jim Brady. Maybe Al's age or his parents knew of him as a classic figure in like the American, like a Rockefeller or something like that. But Diamond Jim Brady was, I believe, the reference in the That Boy Could Dance.
Nice.
There you go. Very
Getting
good.
Some education in here.
Very good. And actually, on that note, AJ, just to go back a little bit, something that we've been sort of doing with most of our guests is, do you have a song that we have previously discussed that you wanted to revisit in some way and ask us if we had any, if you wanted to sell us on something that you maybe didn't agree with the take on, or just a song we've already done that you want to talk about for a minute?
No, I mean, that jumps out because it was literally this morning before the recording.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, I just want to say that Matt will tell you, I am a podcast guest, not a podcast listener.
Yeah.
being friends with Matt for so many years, I struggle to listen to, just because my dad would listen to talk radio and I like music. So this, I just want to compliment the two of you, because this is the first podcast that I have been voraciously waiting for every single week to drop. And I love listening to Matt. I think he's great, but like, I can't listen to any of the other like Geekscape network things. It's not that they're not good. They're phenomenal. I don't have the attention span. My ADHD is that advanced and unmedicated, but yeah, this is the perfect podcast for someone like me. And I hope I've been like trying to promote it everywhere. So,
we definitely see it, AJ. Thank you so much. That really means a lot. That's really cool to hear.
No, this is a phenomenal. So just keep doing what you're doing, and I like the difference in the rankings, and I like everything that you're bringing to the table. So thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
And actually, in the name of rankings, Matt, we do still have one more. We keep forgetting about video rankings.
Oh, we keep forgetting about the music videos. That's right. Looking at the music videos, I like the music video.
it's a simplistic music video. I say,
it doesn't feel as essential as some of the other videos we've seen here, where they really, like, they are so tied to the song that I can't not think of them together. I don't feel quite that same way about this one. I'll just jump in right now. I'll say I'm going to put this in between Like a Surgeon and Ricky.
Almost similarly, I'm actually putting mine between Ricky and I Love Rocky Road.
Yeah, I had to put Ricky above, obviously. You're a real Ricky head.
But so, it, listen, all I'm going to say, I'm not going to say who our guest is next week. But next week's guest, when we first reached out to them, they were like, I got to talk about Ricky. And we had to break the news that we had already
done.
We
had a funny thing, and it's nice, again, not to, like, I really appreciate all the things that you said, AJ. We had so many people who we reached out to be guests on this show. When we first started doing this, we did album one just ourselves because we were like, no one's going to want to talk about album one because it's his least popular record. And then we reached out to guests, and all anyone wanted to talk about was stuff from album one. People were like, can we talk about Ricky, Mr. Frump? I'll Be Mellow When I'm Dead. All these requests were like, we totally blew it. I had no idea that that was going
to
be
no,
so beloved.
No, but I think it was the right thing. It was the right thing we needed to do. We needed to get through that album first to feel our get our feelings figured out as like being co-hosts before we could introduce a third voice into this world.
Well, I'm going to keep asking guests for their opinions until someone comes on and yells at me for not inviting them on for I'll Be Mellow When I'm Dead or something like that. That's my plan.
I mean, stay tuned. Next week, it could happen.
It could happen.
And AJ, one last thing, obviously. Sure. I've said it before. I love having you on, especially music podcasts, because I respect you as a musical mind. Oh. But you are always active doing different things as a DJ and also like on your Facebook accounts and whatnot. I know your stuff is very localized to the Philly suburbs for the most part. But if people want to check out some of the stuff that you're doing, or if you're going to be in a bar where they live, where is the best spot for them to find that stuff?
Sure. So so I host trivia. We call it Quizzo, which is just like a localized way of saying trivia. Monday through Wednesday. So in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. And if you know, if you reach out to Matt, he'll let you know where I'm at. So I enjoy that. And then I also DJ and I play acoustic guitar and whatever, which I wouldn't recommend anyone listen to me sing, but some people pay me to do it. But I do the DJing stuff. You can find on Mixcloud. So it's like a website, mixcloud.com. And then you just type in slash either DJ AJ Santini. And I have like my actual DJ mixes, like dance music and stuff. Or I also run something called the Music Appreciation Society, which is less of a society and more just me being an idiot. And it's mixcloud.com/Music Appreciation Society. And I put up like a bunch of random mixtapes that are meant to sound like a cassette with sound effects, like the cassette being flipped over and whatever. It's 45 minutes aside. And there's things
I
to
love
do
the
to
sound
take
of that.
Up my time.
I have to check that out. That sounds right up my
Thank
alley.
You.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And I mean, a big shout out to AJ. During the pandemic, he would just battle against Facebook copyright law every afternoon and go live on Facebook during everyone's lunch break and just DJ an hour long music session.
Oh my God. I went through that live. Myself when I did the Owl live stream. It was very, very tough. I got shut down everywhere.
So mad that
Yeah.
That's when I've discovered during the pandemic doing like the movie live streams that clearly Twitch is the Wild Wild West where there is no one combing for copyrights the way that they do on YouTube and Facebook.
They weren't for a long time, but I think they are now. I think people got wise to it now because that's where I did it, because I tried YouTube and they shut me down. I tried Facebook and they shut me down. And Twitch was the only place that let me stream uninterrupted. And I got a notice like after it was over, like, oh, we think you might have played some copyrighted material. I was like, oops.
Oh, yeah. No, I still go through afterwards and delete. As soon as the live stream's done, I delete it from existence
That's
to be
what
sure.
I did too.
Yeah, I've never had a live stream interrupted on Twitch is what
oh,
I'll
yes,
say.
Oh, yes. No, never
I've
interrupted.
Definitely got the
YouTube shut me down.
I've gotten
Facebook
the notifications.
Down, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no,
I permanently have lost my YouTube connection with my email because of the pandemic. Yeah. Yeah. I try to click on YouTube links from Google, and it's like, oh, I permanently have problems clicking things. I have to like go through like a third party.
Oh,
it's
God.
Terrible. Yeah. I don't break the law, kids.
No, don't do it. Just don't do it. So AJ, if someone listening to this comes to see you at one of those events where you're playing acoustic guitar, and they yell out "One More Minute," is that something that they might be able to hear?
Well, now that you've put it in my head, I guess I kind of have to.
There you go, people.
Well, you do also, I do want to shout this out because I don't think I've seen many people do this. You also do music video DJing.
Yes.
Where it's exclusive. Oh, like that's you have fun. I like that. Your computer hooked up to the TVs in the bar and you are exclusively playing the music videos with every single song.
Yeah, like, which is funny because they were just discussing that in one of my DJ groups. Someone asked, does anyone do music video? And every other DJ was like, oh, that trend passed. Like, nobody does that anymore. And I thought I was like ahead of the curve that no one was doing, but apparently it was a big thing a couple, like 10 years ago, and now nobody cares anymore because of how large the hard drives have to be.
But you made it a novelty again.
I love it because people are like, yeah. And like, unfortunately, like sometimes like it'll kill your dance floor because people just stand there and stare and they're like, is that what Whitney Houston looked like? Like, wow, you know. The kids. But no, it's I loved it. It is fun. Thank you for bringing that up.
Awesome.
All right, well, we will be back next week with, I mean, one could say it is the biggest, most important song in the Weird Al live show for sure.
A strong contender.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.